By the time we told you to end, all right, one of the things that you can do is the next 10 or so minutes, what I'm going to lecture about is going to be this chart here. So you want to kind of have this in front of you as we're taking notes in order for this to make a bit more sense. And what I want to say in regards to us even applying care ministry in the context of the local church, I was talking with a dear sister in the back, this has to be applied with this all needs to wash over us first, right? And so I'm working with the assumption that we have humble hearts before the Lord by which we're hating our sin, fleeing our sin, and we're treasuring Christ. And it's appropriate for it to be applied when we're having these conversations with people in our lives. We need to think of ourselves as the chief of sinners. Right, the Apostle Paul thought of himself as the chief of sinners, and so best case scenario, you're the worst, you're the second worst sinner that's ever lived, or worst case scenario, better. But we need to think of ourselves as the chief of sinners because that allows us to think through the whole speck and log discourse. Right, get the log out of our own eyes before we get the speck out of your brother or sister's eye. And when you get a speck out of your brother or sister's eye, how do you get a speck out of somebody's eye? All right, you're gentle about it, aren't you? Like you gently open their eye up, you blow the speck out as not to do further damage. And so there's this love behind it, there's this gentleness behind it, there's this respect that's behind it. And so we don't need to be the morality police. We don't need to go and try to snuff out people's sin. This is being applied in the context of the relationships in this local church with these fellow believers. And for those of us that are willing to give counsel, we're not only counselors, but we're counselees as well. And so there's a measure of humility that's going to go a long ways because there will be a time, and you hopefully you've already had the time, where you need to be exhorted by the Word, right? And I look often in the New Testament, you see words like remember constantly, remember this, remember this, remember this. And I tell our local church that if the New Testament writers were constantly telling people within the same generation that lived as Christ to remember, if they were forgetful and they lived within the same generation of Christ, how much more 2,000 years removed from that, how much more forgetful are we? And so we all need to be reminded of the deceitfulness of sin and the glories of the gospel. And there's times where we all need to be comforted through our own afflictions, through our own sufferings, through our own circumstances. And thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us and the all-sufficient Word to help us. And so people are not projects, right? People, as we saw earlier, created in the image of God. And this stuff is to be conducted in a very relational, loving way. And that requires us to listen generously, right? We sometimes tend to be quick to speak. James tells us to be slow to speak and to be quick to listen. And so that should certainly be applied. We shouldn't, when someone's talking with us, even if some of the things that they're saying are off kilter, I'm not thinking when I'm speaking with them that they need to be fixed in this moment. I'm not thinking this is this project to be worked on. I'm thinking I need to listen very broadly. I need to listen very generously so that I have understanding. And so even the first two times while I'm sitting down with someone, I'm doing way more listening than I am speaking because I want to understand this person's heart posture as much as I possibly can. And if there's no understanding on my end, the remedies that I'm going to prescribe can oftentimes do more damage than they will good. And so we need to have empathy. We need to be generous listeners, broadly listen, not look at people as projects. And this happens best being applied, again, in the local church context. And so does that make sense, everybody? Okay, so we're talking about root stuff, root issues, heart issues, cardia. We talked about that. We talked about how that the fruit, the external outward behavior, is an is a is this observable action that's indicating something that's going on in the heart of a person. But I want to begin to think through, how do we chart Christian growth? Because we got to be strategic about how we help people. We just can't willy-nilly just go. Again, we're all counselors, but we're not necessarily all competent or equipped counselors. And so there's got to be some strategy behind how we begin to chart Christian growth. And so I want to go through and explain this graph to you. And hopefully you can use, and I have this graph listed in two different ways. So I'm going to talk you through this graph, but I'm going to show you how to use a second, it's more of a chart, to help you apply this graph in the relationships that the Lord gives you, and can actually even help you debrief any sort of counseling type conversations that you have. And so the first thing that I want you to see is your situation, okay? And that's represented by both heat and dew in this chart. And so your situation is your world, its circumstances, its experiences, etc. That includes your past, it includes your present, it includes your anticipated future. And so we have heat that's categorized by the sun in the chart on the left-hand side. Okay, the heat, it refers to hardships, trials, suffering, effects of sin, even so-called cures. All right, and we can see this a few different ways. General life hardships, being sinned against. You see it being sinned against. Body problems can be a heat. Satan can be a heat. False counsel, false teaching can be a heat. And typically when somebody's coming to you for help, okay, it's because they are probably a bit more in tune with the heat in their lives. Okay, usually when someone's coming to you for help, it's because of the heat in their life, okay? The dew on the right-hand side of this chart represents blessings. These are good things from God's common grace. These are good things from God's common grace. And oftentimes the person that's coming to you for counsel, they may not notice the dew in their life. They may not notice God's common grace in their life. And so it's our job to gently show them the dew at some point down the road as we continue on this relationship with them. The second thing I want you to see is the person. And the person, again, we've talked about this already, is represented by the thorn bush on the left-hand side, the fruit tree on the right-hand side. Okay? Believers are 100% thorn bushes, unbelievers are 100% thorn bushes, and believers are hybrid trees. And the thorn bush represents ungodliness, foolishness, fleshliness, right? It's bad fruit, which is the sinful behavior, sinful words, actions, emotions. You have the bad root, which is the sinful heart. Hebrews 4:12, the beliefs, the motives, the idols, the ruling desires, lies, lusts. And then on the right side there, you see the fruit tree represents godliness, wisdom, spirituality. Okay. And this is adapted again from, I don't know if I mentioned this, but David Pallison created this. So what we see, good root equals godly fruit, godly heart, godly behavior. The third thing we see is God and his provisions. And so that's the triangle and the circle. The triangle at the top and then the circle around it. And I took that from Jerry Bridges, his book Trusting God, which is a fantastic book about suffering. If you're interested, I highly recommend it. But triangle and the circle represent the sovereign, wise, and good God. The sovereign, wise, and good God. Joseph says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me, come, pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Romans 8:28-29, the Apostle Paul says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And so we have the triangle and the circle representing the sovereign, wise, and good God. Then we have the cross. This right in the middle there, the cross is God's provisions for us in Christ Jesus. The cross represents God's provisions for us in Christ Jesus. And then you have the stream, if you will, or the ribbon-looking thing. And the ribbon is the Holy Spirit's application to you of God's provisions in Christ. The Holy Spirit's application to you of God's provisions in Christ. And if you see, what you have is the Holy Spirit's moving you away from being this thorn bush to being this fruit tree. Okay, and so that's a brief explanation of this chart. Now, if you turn a couple of pages, I'm not sure where it is, but you see the six-box version of this three-tree model. Okay, and so we see both the heat and the dew in the top two boxes. Does everybody have that? Okay, we see the heat and the dew. Then we see bad fruit, sinful words, actions, emotions that stem from bad roots, sinful beliefs, motives. We see repentance and faith in accordance with the Scripture that lead to good roots, godly beliefs, motives, good fruit, godly words, actions, emotions, so that the believer may be equipped. And there's a box underneath the repentant faith. I don't know if that's on you. Is that on your, did that print on the following page? Sorry about that. So that should be God's provisions in Christ applied by God's Spirit revealed in Scripture. So here's the exercise that I want to do. Because we're talking about charting Christian growth for people. And I've used this even on myself. And so you can use this even to self-counsel, if you will. But this is a case study. This is a completely fictional case study. About this lady named Lois, and this is a case study that was developed by David Pallison. And what I want to do is I want you to take about 15 minutes, and I want you to read through this case study. And as you read through this case study, I want you to use the six-box version of the three-tree model to chart Christian growth for Lois. And so I want you to recognize what the heat is in Lois's life. I want you to recognize what the bad fruits are in Lois's life. I want you to recognize what are the bad roots that are driving the bad fruits in her life. I want you to recognize what God's provisions are in Christ that are applied by God's Spirit and revealed in Scripture, what those are, what you would commend to Lois, and then what you would expect that to produce in her life. What kind of good root would you expect that to produce? What kind of good fruit would you expect that to produce? And so Lois is someone you're good friends with, and she's about to unload on you, okay? And so take about 15 minutes and work through filling in the six-box version of the three-tree model with details about Lois. I'll give you about 15 minutes.
just ignore our neighborhood friendly woodpecker on the back of the building? That's what that is. So, just ignore it.
Yes, I'm feeding it.
I assumed it was one of you just vigorously getting involved in this activity. The elder told me, no, it's just a woodpecker. And while I have the floor, let me just take a selfish moment to say I find it ironic that I'm accused of reading Left Behind, and he's the one that busts out all these charts. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. How much time do you wish you would have had? A lot more time, right? That certainly was not near the amount of time that you would want to try to even wade through understanding this story, right? And nine times out of ten, someone coming to you for help, and again, the assumption is these are people that are already in your life, but these people may not, A, be able to articulate themselves very well or even really wrap their minds around what it is the issue, and a lot of times people aren't going to be very open or honest, maybe in the beginning. And so some of this data that you would gather on Lois would come after being in her life, being a presence in her life for the long term, right? And so there certainly are some relationships that God brings into our lives for a very limited amount of time, and so we need to steward that time well, and hopefully we're, A, benefiting from the relationship, but we're also serving that individual for whatever the time the Lord allots. But most of our relationships, especially even with modern-day technology, we can be committed to individuals for the long haul, right? And so, in a part of not treating a person like a project is being committed to that person and loving that person and not just seeing that person as a problem, but that person created in the image of God. And so something like this would happen after sitting down, and even the last paragraph says you're picking up with her on a second or a third session. I would even venture maybe to say this could be on way down the road after that, right? And again, it doesn't have to be in this formal one-on-one closed-door setting. It can be over coffee. It can be over at your house, whatever the case may be. But let's try with the very limited time that I just gave you. And again, this is bird's eye view stuff. But let's try to identify. Let's start with the top left. And what I want to do is I want to do the left here, and then I want to talk about the do that's in her life that you've identified, and then we're just going to work all the way down and around here. So first, what would you identify as the heat in Lois's life? Or heats? Broken relationships. What else? What could be more heat? Okay. Yep. Sorry, I'm writing small there. But good. What else could be some of the heat in our life? Financial challenges. Give me a couple more. Mother's death. Somebody give me one more. Past sins. Now, what's some, and again, you may not be communicating all this to her all at once. Don't you see the do in your life, Lois? Don't you see how blessed you are? Don't you see God's common grace? That's not the application of this, right? But what is some of the do in her life?
Education. Education?
Her relationship with what?
With her daughter.
With her daughter?
Current Christian community. Specifically the three women that she's...
Yeah. The three women in her life. Give me a couple more. What's that? Employment. She is a Christian.
For salvation.
Yeah. Very good. Salvation. Okay. Now, what is, and I want you to think through, all this stuff right here can help you to chart out future many, many conversations, right? Again, so we're not trying to fit all this stuff in one conversation and then say, God bless, well, I'll see you in heaven, right? But this is helping us to think through what does the dialogue look like over a long period of time. But what's some bad fruit, bad external behavior that you're seeing? These maybe some patterns that you're observing in her story.
Dependency.
Kind of a codependency type deal.
Anger.
So if we did, I'll even put like angry, kind of like outbursts, emotional upsets type deal. Okay.
Substance abuse.
Along those lines, what other type of abuse do we see in there? You see, yes, certainly. Well, you see some sexual abuse, and yeah, it could even be, I'd probably put that in the heat, even. Isn't there a paragraph in there about her eating habits as well? Is that in there? Right? So, could be gluttony as a means of coping or self-soothing or... Anything else?
She's picky.
Picky? Yep. Nitpicker. Somebody give me one more thing? Yeah. Self-loathing. Now, what's the posture of the heart that could be driving some of this in this box here?
Wrong view of God.
What type of view of God?
Well, she said, "I know Jesus died for my sins, but I feel like God must hate me."
Yep. So, what doctrine did we talk about earlier that could help with that?
Doctrine of redemption.
Certainly, doctrine of redemption, divine simplicity. Of course, we'll get. I'm getting ahead of myself, but wrong view of God. All right.
Fear of abandonment.
Would you classify that as like fear of man type?
Mm-hmm. Or not trusting that God will not provide.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah. Give me some more bad root. What's that?
Discontent,
absolutely. Give me one more.
Inadequate understanding of the gospel.
Yeah.
Fear of like falling again. And along with the first one.
Yeah. It's good. I guess I could have put that in this box. All right, so give me, based on this bad root, right? So we've observed some bad external things that are going on in our life. We've identified some heart issues that are driving these external behaviors. Based on these observations, what are God's provisions in Christ applied by the Holy Spirit revealed in Scripture that we could over time commend?
Sufficiency of Christ.
Why would that matter? Yeah. Yeah. So would make it an aim at some point to talk about the sufficiency of Christ. What else?
And specifically that she does not have to atone for her past. I mean, yes, her consequences, but in the sense of having to make up before God.
Yeah, pay penance or yes. Yeah.
Make sure to do better now. But that, you know, the screwing up again does not make her a worse Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. What else? God's provisions in Christ, applied by the Spirit, revealed in Scripture.
Sovereignty of God.
Sovereignty of God? Why would that be helpful?
Though the last paragraph is the fact that she's very trusting in the counseling situation, her life story doesn't necessarily have one that has a thread of trust gone through each
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Also a lot of personal blame. I'm at fault, not necessarily looking in terms of the fact how God may be working through these situations.
Gotcha. Yeah, seeing the God working good in it. What were you about to say? That's good. And you see what you guys are doing too. You're looking at her both as a sufferer, but also as a culprit in some sense for her sin as well, right? And so you see the complexity at which you're charting Christian growth for Lois. She's both a sufferer, she's a victim, but she's not just a victim, she's also someone who has sin that needs to be repented of so that she can be conformed more into the image of Christ. And so you begin to see some of the complexity with counseling her. It's not one dimensional, is it? What else? Think through the fact that we even some of this do up here. Right, she's got, if this is happening in the context of the local church, she has three women that are already spending time with her, right? And so I may want to connect with these three women because this is God's provision. This is a provision from the Lord. I may want to make sure that she's getting the same message, right? To make sure that she's getting help, right? Think about the Lord's Day as a means of grace, right? There's something that's spiritually happening as Lois faithfully comes and worships on the Lord's Day and sings the Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and hears the preaching of the Word and sees the gospel in picture form through baptism and the Lord's Supper and assembles with the saints that are reminding her of who she is in Christ Jesus. And so that's certainly something that the Lord has provided by which help can be given to her. Give me a couple of more things. God's love. Yeah, absolutely. Give me one more thing.
God's extending of forgiveness through Christ, but in repentance. Like, she seems to, I know this is wrong, but I'm getting better. Like, there's not
yeah.
a full repentance.
Yep. Yeah.
Actually calling for it to repentance.
Yeah.
And then seeing that through Christ, forgiveness is extended, but actually helping her to see the full extent of her necessity of repentance,
yep.
not just the step of getting a little better.
Absolutely. one of the beauties of biblical counseling. We're not just listening. We're trying to provoke change in an individual. And they have the capacity to change because of the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. And the Word expects them to change. Union with Christ, very good. Why is that important?
She said that she feels that God hates her. If she's united with Christ, she has meant that all of the blessings that we have in Christ are ours. Our adoption, the way that we're viewed, our holiness, all of those things are a reality presently for her now.
That's good. Absolutely. So, based on, and again, we could fill this up a lot more than what we just did together. But what are some good fruits? We're wanting to replace these bad fruits with good fruits. And so, what would we hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? Right, because we don't have the capacity to change a person in our strength. It's the Holy Spirit's role to change that person, but we're to counsel the Word lovingly, gently, with respect, and certainly trust that God's Word's doing something. It's either hardening the person that we're counseling and they're going to respond in rebellion, or it's softening the person that we're counseling and they're going to respond in repentance and faith, and also as they suffer, be comforted. But what's some of the good root that we would hope to see in Lois's life? What's that? Say one more.
Trusting God.
Growing. What would be a remedy for fear of man? What would be the counter root? Fear of God? Contentment.
Proper view of God.
Proper view of God. Give me one more.
Proper view of the work of Christ.
Proper view of the work of Christ. And then what would be the externals that we would see as a result of the good fruit, of the good root?
The ability to have a healthy relationship.
Healthy relationships. So far as it depends on her?
Yes.
What else? Patience, fruit of the Spirit there, right?
Repentance.
Having a right sense of herself in light of the gospel.
Yeah. No idea why I started writing sideways, but we'll go with it.
A more healthy use of God's gifts. So food.
Yeah.
Perhaps a healthy use of wine versus
yep.
Going back into addiction. I mean, just, and people as well.
Yep.
But just kind of healthy use of God's gifts in all those areas.
Yeah. Absolutely. Some moderation, stewardship stuff. Give me a couple more.
Contentment.
Contentment.
Attendance to the means of
Yeah.
Public and private.
Not even growing in graciousness, right? She's a nitpicker of Willie, right? So just growing in her own graciousness. Somebody give me one more. Fantastic. So this is with you spending 30 minutes or so just kind of wading through Lois's story. And one of the things we want to be careful with is at the end of the day, we want to make sure that she's not worshiping the blessings that she gets from God. She's not worshiping, and Christy and I were talking about this during the break, she's not resting in her ability to repent. Right. If I filled this up with, there's a gentleman that I've spent some time with who, since his 20s, he was an alcoholic, and he's in his 60s now, and our local church was able to work with him to become sober. He's been sober for about a year now. My concern is that he has exchanged the idol of alcohol for the idol of sobriety, right? And so I want to make sure that all of this, at the end of the day, what we're doing, the motive is for her to feast on Christ, right? That's what we're getting at. And so and the Lord uses these things as a means by which she can become a worshiper of the triune God, this healthy worshiper being conformed day by day more into the image of Jesus Christ. And so none of this is comprehensive, as you now know. This, like I said, has been the beginning of a discussion that needs to be ongoing. I certainly couldn't cover everything that I would have liked to cover, but my hope is this at least begins this conversation for your local church body with your elders here, as you guys really think through how it is, how can we graciously apply the ministry of soul care in the context of the local church. So let me do this. Let me pray with you guys, and then I will turn it over to you, brother, whatever you want to, however you want to end it. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this local church. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is sufficient, God, and that, Lord, that you not only have given us your word, God, but you've saved us through the person and work of Jesus. You've applied you've taken our sin, you've put it on him, God. You've poured every ounce of your wrath out on him. There's no wrath left for those that are in Christ, because you've applied his righteousness, his person, his work to our lives by your Holy Spirit. And so, God, we're just so grateful for that, Lord. And I thank you for this local church body and what you're doing in and through them, God. And, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that we would all grow in our understanding and in our passion for really providing loving care for the people that you're entrusting to us, God. And so thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we've had together. And God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for tomorrow's Lord's Day service. I pray that you would be glorified in it, God, and that you would use it to build your church and to draw people to yourself. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.